Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Revelation 21. Revelation chapter 21. These verses are precious verses to me. I use them over and over, and I have for about 41 years. Most of the time they are used, I use them at a graveside. Whenever it's time to say the last prayer and to leave the loved one, the remains there at the cemetery, and go our way. And I do so because these verses are very, very positive and very, very comforting. They are verses that should take the believer and the believer's heart and mind and lift them above their circumstances of that hour and catapult them on down the road to the reality of what we have in the future. Now, I really hadn't planned to preach on heaven tonight, but I think I will. All the songs were about heaven. I got to thinking about heaven, and these verses came to my mind. And I thank God as a preacher, as a gospel preacher, that I have these verses to give to people. And they're good right now for us to be familiar with. They're not just for a graveside service. But oh, what a blessing they are when we walk away from the graveside of someone that we love so much. A husband, a wife, a child, mother, or daddy. Revelation 21, verse 1. John, as we call him, the Revelator, the one whom God chose to write this, said, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. For the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write, for these words are true and faithful. Now let's think about these verses together just for a few moments for our encouragement. You know, it's great to be saved, isn't it? And I know that if you're saved, you know that heaven's going to be your home someday. We have great things to look forward to. We really do. No matter what. When they were singing about heaven a while ago, I leaned over to Brother Rigsby and I said, you know, if the Lord doesn't come in about 20 years, you and I are going to be there. At least I hope he'll make it. I think I will, and I think he will. No, we're saved by grace. Amen. Aren't you glad of that? Amen. But that's the reality of the fact that if Christ doesn't come, we're going to die, and somebody's going to have to say a few words about us, and I'm glad that they'll be able to give some comforting words. And he says in verse 1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Thank God we've messed this earth up pretty much. There will be a paleogenesis, it's called, that is a remaking. There will be the new heavens and the new earth. God's going to take care of that in his mighty power. And the elements of the earth will melt with a fervent heat, Peter tells us. And we know that that day is going to come. All things will be new. I saw a new heaven and a new earth. Why? Well, the first heaven and the first earth were passed away. And there was no more sea. No more sea. That sea, a sea in the Bible, is symbolic of the boisterous waves and of trouble and problems and difficulties. Aren't you glad one of these days we'll live in a place where there will be no more sea, no more trouble? There won't be any more trouble. We have troubles down here, don't we? If I were to ask you right now, and I won't ask you to raise your hand, but if I were to ask you how many of you had some kind of troubles this past week, most of you could lift your hand and say, well, I had some trouble. Something to do with your finances, your car, your family, your job, or who knows what. But we have our share of troubles, and we're going to have troubles. Man that is born of a woman is born of a few days and full of what? Troubles. So we might as well expect it. But praise God, one day there's going to be a place where we will be, where there be no more trouble. I sort of like that idea. There was no more sea, no more trouble. Thank God there'll come that day, and it's all by the grace of Jesus Christ, all by the mercy of God, that we'll live in a sphere, we'll live in a dimension where there is no trouble. And I, John, verse 2, saw the holy city. Oh, that's got to be a beautiful place. First of all, it's holy. You know, I've seen some pretty places here in the United States and around the world. I've flown over the Swiss Alps and looked at them from the sky. I've been in Jerusalem and in Palestine and seen some beautiful areas there, the Mediterranean. I've been in the Adirondacks up in New York, beautiful mountains. I pastored in the heart of the Shenandoah Valley one time for 7 years, and only God could move me out of there to where they raised corn and soybeans. The Shenandoah Valley is one of the most beautiful places, Harrisonburg, Virginia, close to Roanoke in that area. One of the most beautiful places in the world. I mean some absolute gorgeous places, and all of you are probably thinking right now of some places where you've been and how beautiful it was and how great it is and how lovely it is. Every once in a while I have to go to Acapulco and suffer in a missions conference. Why are you laughing? I want to tell you, if you've ever been there, you know it is so gorgeous. Just to ride from the hotel to the airport and to see all of those bays in there and all of those beautiful places where the movie stars live and that type thing. My, it's a gorgeous place. But you haven't seen anything yet, because those places are sin cursed, and there's not perfect holiness. Believe me, there's not holiness in Acapulco or Jerusalem or anywhere else. Not perfect holiness, but thank God there is here. I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven. You know, there are three heavens, and one right above us. The second heaven where the stars are, and the third heaven where God's abode is. And here comes this New Jerusalem coming from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. In other words, it's beautiful. I've never seen a bride that I thought was ugly. I've seen some that came really close. I've seen some grooms that was ugly enough for both of them. Amen. But you know something? It's amazing to me how some young ladies clean up, and what the makeover does for them. And I'm up here, and I'm standing here, and I'm saying, is that really the bride? Is that the woman I've known for these years in our church? And boy, they come down that aisle in that beautiful white gown and that veil, maybe not, but man, they just look beautiful, don't they? And the bridegroom is standing down there, and he's smiling like a chicken on a good day. Just happy as a lark. Well, listen, you've never seen anything like this. Oh, it is a new Jerusalem coming down from God out of heaven, prepared. God's prepared it. Don't worry about it. He's got it all figured out, all prepared, all ready. It's going to come, and it's going to be perfect as a bride adorned for her husband. John said, and I heard a great voice out of heaven. And God's voice is great, isn't it? The Bible describes it like the ocean and thunder, and the strength of the wind, God speaking. But I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, "Behold." In other words, pay attention. This is important. "Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men." The tabernacle of God, the house of God, the body that God lived in, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. He'll dwell with them. He'll dwell with us. Isn't that great? One of these days, He's going to dwell with us. Now, I love it when we have good services, and boy, I love it when the power of God seems to be present. And we all desire that and want that. And boy, when it happens, it's great. And you've experienced that, some of you, in revival meetings and other occasions. And we know, you know, we just sense there are just some of those special times when God comes and meets with us. But this is going to be more special than that. More special than that. The tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them. He'll dwell, He'll stay with them, and they shall be His people. And God Himself shall be with them and be their God. The tabernacle, the Lord Jesus Christ, God Himself, will dwell with us. As I said in a message recently, we don't know what Jesus looks like. There's no description of Christ in the Bible, other than some general statements like He's altogether lovely. Amen? I believe He'll be the most beautiful sight that glorified eyes will ever have the privilege to look at. The Lord Jesus Christ. Wonder what He looks like. I wonder exactly what He looks like. We talked about His nail-scarred hands tonight, so on and so forth. Ah, He must be altogether beautiful and lovely. The Lamb of God, the precious Lamb of God. Ezekiel describes the glory of His person, the wheel in a wheel, and the glory that is there, other places. And these are just sort of descriptions. But one of these days, He's actually going to dwell with us, and God Himself will be with them and be their God. And it even gets better. Verse 4. "And God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." A lot of tears in this world, isn't it? Aren't there? A lot of tears. In the years I've pastored, I've seen a lot more than I wanted to. I've seen all kinds of tears. I've seen mothers and daddies weep and cry over the rebellion of their children. Just broken and weeping and crying and saying, "I can't believe what my children have done. I raised them differently, and we taught them to love the Lord and live for the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is what she did, or this is what he did, or this is what they're doing." And they weep and they cry, and their tears running down profusely on their face, from their eyes, because of a broken heart. I've seen tears when people tragically lost a loved one. I can go back through my ministry and think of a lot of different situations. I've been greatly spared from some of that in this ministry, but in my previous two ministries I saw more of that than I wanted to. But I can remember a couple of little boys riding in the back of a pickup truck that rode our buses, and then they were killed in a truck accident. And the pastor has to go to the home sometimes and tell them. I can remember getting a call from state troopers saying, "We understand you're the pastor of so-and-so. Could you meet us at their house to tell them that his son and daughter-in-law just got killed in a car wreck last night about 1 o'clock in the morning, and we need somebody to help go tell them?" And I remember that particular morning, it was just before church started, and I got the call. I said, "I'll meet you down there." And they lived about 3 blocks from our church, and I went down, and obviously when we knock on the door at that time of the morning, just before church, about an hour before church, they're wondering, "What's up, preacher?" And I had to tell him, "Your son, daughter-in-law, got killed in a wreck." Oh, the tears, all kinds of tears. I've been there at the hospital. I can remember one of our men having a heart transplant. We had to go to Indianapolis, 60, 70 miles away from where I pastored. And I can remember they said, "They're here with a heart." And another man and I went downstairs. We wanted to see. They said, "They're coming with a heart." And they drove up in a state trooper's car, and two nurses, a male and a female nurse, got out with a little Coleman container, ice thing. And they had that heart in there, and they were just talking like it was just a routine day. And I'm thinking, get that heart up there. Get it on up there. And we followed them, and they gave him that heart, put that heart. A young man had been killed. And he got that heart. They put it in, and he lived about, I don't know, a day or so, and that was it. And we had to walk in and say, "Look, he didn't make it." A lot of tears. But oh, thank God. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Dr. Criswell said one time, I heard him say and read it, he said one of the things that was so hard for him to understand in this life was human suffering. There's a lot of it, isn't it? A lot of tears. Some of you probably cried today about something. I don't know. Lots of tears. But one of these days, thank God, the children of God, God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And I like this. There shall be no more death. Isn't that good? Can you imagine living in a situation, in an environment where there's no more death? I have a funeral Tuesday, and I never get used to them. I have more experience than I did when I started out, but I never really get used to them. And to see the people sad, and to see the grandchildren weep, and the daughters and sons weep, and all of that, and the heartache and the heartbreak of people because of death. I've been there with some of you right here tonight. I just glance and look, and I see some of you where I went in with you right after your daddy died, or right after your mother died, or your husband or loved one. And my wife and I sometimes had to come by. And it's so hard. I've been in the hospitals. I've been in Hughley Hospital when it happened. I've been in Methodist Hospital. I've been in Baylor Hospital when it happened. I've been in HEB Hospital when it happened. I've been in all kinds of places around here when it happened, when somebody died, and we had to go in and be with the family and do the best we could to comfort them. But praise God, one day there'll be no more death. Amen. Hallelujah. No more death. Won't be any undertakers in heaven. I like it. Dr. Barber, I learned this from him. He'd say that at the graveside. He'd say, "You know, there won't be any undertakers in heaven." And the funeral director would always look up, you know, and he says, "I mean, they won't be practicing their vocation, you know, in heaven." I like to use that every once in a while. Makes it a little bit lighter. But it's true. There'll be a day when there will be no more death. Neither sorrow nor crying, getting back to that, and that surrounds death. There'll be no more sorrow, there'll be no more crying, neither shall there be any more pain. Woo, that's good. Amen. The younger I get, the more pain I experience, amen. You young whippersnappers, you just wait. You guys that were playing basketball with me out there the other day, making fun of me and my slow movements, and wondering if I was going to make it to church the next morning. Yeah, I was in pain. Pride will make you do a lot of stupid things, you know. The desire's there, but the body just won't cooperate. I've already had my steroid shots. Now, not the kind of baseball players have, the other kind. In my back and bulging this and so on and so forth. Won't be any more pain. Amen? Amen. Boy, I've seen some people suffer. I remember a man I'm thinking of right now, had cancer, had a hole in his stomach up here. And that cancer, he was at home and stayed at home. I don't know why he was there so long before he was in the hospital. I think it had to do with insurance and all that. But I remember I led him to the Lord, by the way. But he was in so much pain. I mean, agonizing pain. And he would say, "Brother Weaver, please pray that God would take me home." Some of you here know about pain. I mean, a lot of you have some pain. A lot of you here tonight in pain. You're here, thank God. You came on anyway, and you forced yourself to come, and you push on, and that's a good thing to do. And pain is, there's nothing that, you know, some people get in so much pain that they take their own lives. Not right. I'm just saying, I'm illustrating that pain is an awful thing. It's an awful thing, and you have seen people suffer, and I've seen people in horrible pain, but thank God one day there will be no more pain. Why? The former things are passed away. Can you believe that? All of that will be gone. Every bit of it. And young people, you may not quite understand this because you're still youthful and young, but I'm telling you, it's a great reality. That one of these days, it's going to happen. Thank God for the truth of the Word of God. The former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." All of it. We don't have to worry about our planet. God's going to take care of it. Oh, I think we ought to keep it as clean as we can, do what we can. I don't think we ought to be environmentalist kooks and ruin the whole economy and the whole country because of trying to save the hoot owl. I don't give a hoot about the hoot owl. I want cheap gas. Amen. Well, I think you feel the same way. But if it wasn't for the environmentalists and the ecology freaks, we'd have all the oil we wanted right now. They need to release. We have reserves. If they'd release some of that, those people who are profiteering, those people who are taking advantage of the situation, and they are hedging their bets on it, and they're causing the price to go up and up, they'd go broke overnight, and that's all they deserve. But anyway, thank God all things are going to be made new. And he that sat upon the throne said, "Behold, I make all things new." And he said unto me, "Write, for these words are true and faithful." How many of you believe they're true? Say amen.
Amen.
How many of you believe God will be faithful to his word? Say amen.
Amen.
It's going to happen. And he said unto me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega." You know what that is? The first and last letter of the Greek alphabet. I'm A to Z. I'm Alpha and Omega. I'm it. I'm totality. I'm everything. I'm God. He said unto me, "It is done. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give unto him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely." Aren't you glad he says that anybody can be saved and come and experience this? And anybody can trust Christ as their Savior. Know that one day everything I've told you about tonight right here, faithful and true in this word, will be your experience. If you're saved. You say, "Preacher, how do I get saved?" Just in case you don't know, you're a sinner. Jesus died for you. He paid your sin debt. You can't earn it. You can't be baptized enough to get to heaven. These people baptized tonight weren't being baptized to get to heaven. They were baptized because they're already ready to go to heaven. They've already been saved. You can't get to heaven that way, your works or anything else. You can't purchase it. You can't buy it. You've got to be born again by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that was what Paul went around preaching to everybody. The gospel, the resurrection, death, burial, and resurrection, and repentance, turning from sin to Christ. If you're here tonight without Jesus, these things will not be yours unless you get saved. Now, which one do you want? Do you want this? Or would you rather die and go to hell? Think of the contrast between this and eternal damnation and separation from God. Isn't God good? Aren't you thankful tonight for mercy and grace? Let's all stand, please. Father, I pray now that you would bless the Word of God. It is so powerful. And Father, I pray now that you would encourage our hearts. Help us to be thankful for what we know is going to be ours someday. Oh, thank you for the Bible. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you, dear God, that we know without reservation that these things are faithful and true because it's your word. And we say hallelujah to the Lamb. Someday there'll be no more tears, no more heartache, no more problems, no more burdens, no more death, no more pain. But until then, Lord, we need your grace. We need to bring our burdens to you, and our heartaches and disappointments and our tears, even our pain, our failures. We all fail you from time to time, God, we do. We know that from 1 John chapter 1. We say we have no sin as little children, we lie and the truth is not in us. Help us to make those things right. And God, if there's someone here tonight who's never been saved, I pray tonight they'd be saved, whoever it may be, so that they can say, these things will be mine too. Not eternal damnation, separation from thee, from God, but these things will be mine. A new heaven, a new earth. And God, may you help us. Speak to our hearts as we worship you in Jesus' name.